Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Organization, his team, you know, all year, man. He has blessed us and favored us tremendously, man. And I just got to give all glory to him. And we knew it was going to be us against the refs going into this game. And, you know, I talked to you guys early this week. And I was just saying, like, man, like, we got to go out there and we got to do us better. And, you know, in some instances we didn't do that, some instances we did. So we just got to keep going, man. Next offseason, you know, get the guys together, man. And, you know, everybody just coming together and just keep building that team chemistry and get past this hump.
It's funny. There were Texan players who were much more, I thought, outspoken about the officiating in that game on Saturday. Will Anderson's cut there got the most attention because he literally used the phrase "it was us against the ref." So that got that was a headline on ESPN on the bullet points on the side there. I thought Will kind of redirected it back towards like we got to be better also here. But the fact that I wanted to play that whole cut, including Will talking about how God has blessed them during the year.
He's talking about God. I didn't know if he was talking about God or me.
He was talking. I thought the same thing. I'm like, is he talking about? No, God. But the reason I left that there is because he was literally leading into his media availability. I wanted to illustrate that. Like, this wasn't the response to necessarily like a question in the middle of the whole thing. Like, Will's giving all glory to God and then immediately is going into, yeah, we thought it would be us against the refs. Like, that was the lead into the whole thing. So that was a big topic, a big talking point with a lot of the guys. I would say to the credit of everybody who talked about the officials, specifically D'Amico Ryans, CJ Stroud as well, they did all redirect it back to them saying, look, you know, it's not, we didn't lose this game specifically because of
and I'll say again, look, Mahomes manipulates the rule book. And the officials themselves, I can't get angry at those dudes. They made a couple calls in that game that easily could have gone the other way and wouldn't have been overturned. The Eric Murray pass breakup, I don't think that would have been overturned by replay if it had gone one way or the other. The Dalton Schultz reception on the sideline, I don't think that necessarily would have been overturned by replay. Like, it wasn't like every single call went against the Texans. It's just that those roughing the passer or the unnecessary roughness ones were very, very, very ticky-tack gray area BS. I mean, I see Jared Goff get flat out blasted in the face on an interception return yesterday, and no, like nothing there. Jaden Daniels got shoved 3 yards out of bounds. Nothing. It's that Mahomes flops and complains and whines his way, puts himself into danger at times, and the way the rule is written, they end up getting those calls, and it's bogus. Yeah. It's Bush League. It's cowardly, and it is un-American. But I'll set all that aside. The fact of the matter is, look, the Texans are amongst the most heavily penalized teams in the league when it comes to unnecessary roughness. Mm-hmm. They play a violent brand of football. Pat Mahomes is really good at drawing that specific penalty and doing it in a faking slides and ducking back in bounds type of ways. It's a factor going into the game. It's a factor going into the game. You're gonna have to fight that perception.
Well, and I tell you what, one way, and this is a good lead into what we're gonna talk about here. One way to at least diminish that, it would seem, would be play these games at home. Get better than a 4 seed. Be better than a 4 seed, and you're not leaving yourself open to the human nature that is not just a football thing. It's a basketball thing. It's a baseball thing. That's one of the reasons why home field advantage is something that's very desirable, is that the game, to this point, is still being officiated by humans, not robots, not computers yet. Here was D'Amico Ryans after the game saying, we're not that far off.
Yeah, I don't feel like we're that far away. Like, these teams are in a whole different tier than us. It's a matter of us just doing what we're supposed to do, and we'll be just fine.
All right, and so To a degree, I agree with him, Seth. I mean, that was not an evenly played game on the scoreboard necessarily, but if you were just to watch that game, it didn't look like play to play. If you just ignored the scoreboard, you don't look at that. You don't look at those two teams going, all right, this one is significantly better than that.
They're definitely within reach. I think the offensive line is the biggest glaring issue. I was just looking at, and again, take PFF grades with a grain of salt, but in the aggregate, it's interesting that the only two teams in the playoffs whose offensive lines were in the bottom half of the rankings were the Steelers and the Texans. Mm-hmm. It just, and that's what it looked like. That offensive line is just not good enough. I think I'll give Laremy Tunsil a lot of credit for, I think, honestly, really trying to reinvent himself midway through the season when he just had to figure out how to stop getting false starts. I think he committed himself to being a better run blocker and a more involved complete player than he's ever been. So I fully credit him for that. It was cool to see. Tytus Howard did some good things as a left guard. But on the sum total of it all, they're just a bad offensive line. There's room for improvement and hope. Blake Fisher is still young, all of that. But they're just – I'm watching some of these games – just any of these other teams in the playoffs this weekend, man, they got some hosses on their offensive line.
Yeah.
Even when they weren't playing well, they were just it's night and day, the level of physicality, technique, and everything
else. Execution, the mental side of it, just yeah you're right. I was what was the early game was the Rams and the Eagles yesterday. The Eagles ran some play where they had a guy pulling, you know, like Saquon. I mean, they got good players too that are carrying the football, but you're just watching, and it's a Jeff Stoutland offensive line, so they've been doing this forever. Like, it's just, as a Texan fan, it's depressing to watch those other games and see these other teams execute the way that they
and
do.
And even the Eagles, I mean, they had it was almost a little bit of like a Joe Mixon plus type of performance, because Saquon Barkley was averaging about 2.5 yards per carry on the runs, except for his two huge runs. Yeah. But it's like there's throughout the course of the season, yeah, the blocking, Matt, and it was hard to block, man. I honestly felt bad for offensive linemen for the first time in my life in both those games yesterday.
For the weather?
Because, man, the Rams were running games really, really well, and they made life difficult for the Eagles. Well, I actually know the Eagles were running games even better.
Yeah.
The Eagles made life really difficult for the – so I digress. The other big thing that was frustrating was just old man Travis Kelce running roughshod over the Texans defense. That was really like losing track of Travis Kelce to the point where he didn't even have to serpentine his way around.
Yeah.
He wasn't doing any of that. Remember the one play where Henry Toa was just standing behind – Travis Kelce kind of waiting for him to do his thing.
Yeah.
And Travis Kelce was just standing there. Like, that's, you didn't even get the A-plus version of Travis Kelce, and they still lost track of him way too often. I think Aziz Alshire was probably the biggest transgressor on some of the big plays, but they took turns. You know, there was Eric Murray one time, there was Miles Bryant another time. You just can't let Travis Kelce be the guy that's going to crush you like that. Not at his age.
Yeah.
Not at it with his body type these days.
Yeah.
No.
So my thought coming into this segment was that this game was lost before Saturday. The Texans' loss on Saturday is, to me, Seth, and this plays into the officiating to a degree, like you and I just talked about. But I think it also, getting a home game in the divisional round is ultimately, I think, going to be the recipe for getting the Texans out of this morass that they're in of being the four seed, winning at home, and then going and losing. And this one was frustrating because this is a winnable game. Like a lot of these other divisional round games, last year, for example, they were outclassed. Like the Ravens were just a better football team. Look, it's tough to get deep into the playoffs. Like there's a chance we may look back at this game and go, like in the next couple of years, go, man, their best chance to get to the AFC title game might have been in Kansas City. Kind of a vulnerable Kansas City team that's not... It's a good team. It's not a great team, I don't think. They allowed the Texans to hang in that game. You got a few bad calls from the officials. This is where, though, the Texans, to me, lost that game, is losses that they sustained in the regular season that are just inexcusable. If you can be the two seed and get a home game, you're not going to be victim to those calls, theoretically. You're going to have the crowd on your side. You're going to be playing in a stadium where your defense forces a bleep ton of turnovers, right? They force no turnovers in Kansas City. That is a different Texans team that plays at home. They had losses this year, Seth, from the middle of the season on. They started having these losses that after the game, you and I would read tweets On Monday, the Lions lost, for example, only the third time since 1994 that a team won a game while throwing five interceptions, right?
Yeah.
The Lions, the first team since 19, these are actual stats, first team since 1970 to overcome five interceptions and trail by more than two touchdowns and still win the game. That's week 10. Week 12, 2 weeks later, and these are at home, 2 weeks later, Will Levis, quarterback taking eight sacks and throwing a pick six since 1960 are now 3-33 in those games. 3-33 since 1960. This Chiefs loss on Saturday. The Texans are now the only team in postseason history to outgain their opponent by more than 100 yards and not turn the ball over and lose the game. Teams in the postseason prior to that that fit that statistical profile were 49-0. And that's not even to talk about, hey, they were plus three against the Packers in turnovers. Teams like that win 92% of the time. Actual stat. So that's like that's actually kind of subdued compared to these historical kind of blueprints that they've had to walk their way into these losses. So I mean, they lost eight games on the year, and four or five of them are games that the statistical gods would go, no. Maybe you lose one of those this season, right, not five.
That's where, I mean, this last game was kind of set aside because the officiating or the way the rule is enforced on the quarterback, it's whether you want to blame the officials, I tend to blame the rule itself and the way it's enforced and the lack of a ban on the fake slide and all of that, whatever. It was a factor. It's not the only reason the Texans lost. Taking eight sacks had nothing to do with the quarterback protection rule, but it was a fact. It was certainly a factor when you have the margin like that. I think with a lot of those losses, the biggest thing for me is that, man, the defense improved a lot, but they just absolutely have to stop letting up some of these big plays. Yeah. And this is where D'Amico and I differ in some regards. I really vehemently disagree with D'Amico's philosophy about tackling to the point where he has said multiple times that he doesn't worry about missed tackles. Because as long as there's a swarm mentality, that's fine in regular season games versus bad opponents. Yeah, if you got a lot of guys rallying to the ball, then yeah, you're going to get people down. But you're also a team that just has allowed way too many huge chunk plays. And the bad tackling is part of that.
Oh, yeah.
You can't all of a sudden, at the very end of the year, D'Amico started talking about how they had to be better at tackling instead of just flat out saying he's not worried about missed tackles. They're one of the worst tackling teams in the league. And it undoes a lot of really good stuff they do defensively. Yeah. I don't get it. I don't understand. I feel like D'Amico and I are wired the same way philosophically in a lot of ways. There have been some very, very good, hard-hitting, physical defenses, the Legion of Boom specifically, who are the best tackling teams in the league.
Yeah.
They're not, it's not mutually exclusive that you can't hit hard and cause turnovers, but also tackle soundly. They've got to fix that next year. It's sloppy. It's sloppy, and I'm philosophically opposed to it.
Travis Kelce, I don't know that I've watched a game where he's broken a tackle all year. Like, he goes down at the touch of a feather. The 49-yard play downfield to him, Kalen Bullock missed, Azeez Al-Shaair missed. He's dragging a guy into the goal-to-go area of the field. Like, it was wild,
It's pathetic. It's really, really bad tackling, and it's unacceptable. And there's got to be a change in methodology, honestly. Some teams have tackling coaches, like specialists that work on it. That defense is too good to be allowing as many passing touchdowns and stupid things like that. And Travis, you're exactly right. We saw Travis Kelce in the regular season. You could sneeze on him and he'd fall down.
Yeah.
And you're just letting that old man. It's like you got knocked out by Morgan Freeman in Million Dollar Baby, you know?
Yes.
He went in Million Dollar Babied you.
That's right.
I wish I'd been what happened to the chicken that one, falling on a stool. It just been like, that's what I felt like doing. Spoiler alert, I felt like biting my tongue so I could suffocate on my own blood. Okay,
there you go.
Good morning, everybody.
All right, we're off and running on a Reaction Monday. The Texan season is over. We'll talk plenty about that as we roll on here. But yeah, man, be better in the regular season. You don't have to worry about going to Kansas City anymore. You can host a game in the divisional round. That would be nice, I would say. That would be awfully nice. All right, headlines. Let's get to them here. We'll talk Texans in headlines. We'll hear from head coach D'Amico Ryans on exactly what happened in coverage against Travis Kelce. And the other three playoff games, how are we feeling about these two matchups that we've got now in the AFC and NFC title games? We'll hit that in headlines and a whole lot more. We got a college football playoff title game tonight as well. Ton to get to here on a Monday. Stay there.